You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The simon for Kuf Yud Gimel, it's backwards. Instead of Keeg, it's going to be a geek. So some nerdy image in your head of somebody who's nerdy and I guess very particular about certain things. And the first point is the discussion about, it's actually this Mishnah that was just started, of being Mekaflin Es HaKelim, right? That we said that, I don't know if you were there for that part the other day, or who was there for it, but the Mishnah says you're allowed to, did you get up to this Mishnah? Mekaflin Es HaKelim? Where you're allowed to, where you're about folding clothing on Shabbos? Okay, So the Mishnah speaks about folding clothing. You could do it multiple times, and there are limitations to what you can do because it might look like some sort of tikkun, kli, by folding it, and that may be problematic. Also, setting beds, hachana for after Shabbos, and then the Gemara gives some qualifications that you can only, you know, fold it. You can't have two people do it. You can have one person do it. If two people, then it becomes very perfect and things like that. So that's the first zichru point, folding clothing and making beds and how it's permissible on Shabbos. And the second point is what we're about to get to now, which is a few important mitzvos of Shabbos that are midrabanan. And let's take a look at it. It quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. This is the pasuk. This is a pasuk from Yeshayahu Nun Ches, which is the haftarah, for Yom Kippur in the morning, not after Yonah by Mincha, but for Yom Kippur. It's a very very chashuv a haftorah, and there are some famous psukim and inyanim of Shabbos there. This doesn't quote, we're not going to quote it here today on today's amud, but one of the mitzvahs is the mitzvah and the concept of oneg Shabbos, of delighting in Shabbos, right? You don't get that from the Chumash itself. It says Zachoris Yom Shabbos Lekadsho, Shemoris Yom Shabbos Lekadsho. Doesn't say to delight in it, but Vakaras LeShabbos Oneg. That's those are the words of Yeshayahu, and we also have some other commandments, instructions about Shabbos from Yeshayahu. V'chibadato me'asos derechecha. So it's v'chibanato, you shall honor it me'asos derechecha, from doing your way. So v'chibanato, what does that mean? V'chibanato. So it's also the inyan of kavod Shabbos. Kavod and oneg Shabbos are not found in the Chumash anywhere, right? According to one understanding of the Rambam, they stem from, they're based off of Zachor and Shamor, but kavod and oneg are two different inyanim that are taught by Yeshayahu. But how do we do v'chibadato over here? V'chibadato shelo yehi ma'busha chashal Shabbos kama busha chol. Your Shabbos clothes should not be the same as your weekday clothes. That's one of the inyanim of kavod Shabbos and one of these instructions of Yeshayahu. Now keep in mind that if Yeshayahu is telling us, then these are really old mitzvos midrabanan, right? What do you call it? Divrei Kabbalah. It's something that it's not that the rabbis in the times of the Gemara or the Mishnah, or even a little bit before that, made up, or even from Bayis Sheni. This is from Bayis Rishon, from Yeshayahu, his time. He was telling people about these mitzvot midrabanan that already existed. So these are really, really old mitzvot and principles of Shabbos. So we have kavod, and specifically as displayed by the clothing that you wear. V'chi ha de Rabbi Yochanan, and this is in accordance with that which Rabbi Yochanan said, V'chi ha de Rabbi Yochanan kari l'ma'ane mechabadosai. And this is in accordance with that which Rabbi Yochanan would say, that he would call his ma'ane, he would call his clothing, mechabadosai, the things that honor me. Right, so he meaning the way he would refer to clothing is the things that honor me. Clothing are something that are an honor to a person, right? Elevates a person above animals, right? I mean, nowadays, you know, something you'll often see like a little dog walking out with a sweater, you know, you see that kind of thing. But historically, and it also generally, clothing is something that is an honor to human being, and someone is particularly honored if they have particularly nice clothing, that royalty, royal clothing. So he called his clothing mechabedosai, and that fits in perfectly with Yeshayahu's instruction of vichibadato being understood as the union of Shabbos clothing. Me'asos derechecha, so you're supposed to honor from doing your way. So what does that mean, your derech? Shelo yehei hiluchecha shel Shabbos ki hiluchecha shel chol. That you should not make your walking of Shabbos be the same as your walking during the week. That the walking should be different. And Rashi points out here, we're going to explain this later. But this principle, it's an Isser derabanan known as hiluchecha. You're walking, and it's that your walking should be done in a certain way. Next, Mimtso Heftzecha, Yeshayahu continues, from bringing about your desires, meaning doing things to Rashi gives an example over here based on the Mesachas Erevin, which is where you tile Adam the Sosa Deu. There's an Isser called Mimso Heftzecha, which is basically expediting a malacha process on Shabbos. Meaning, you're not doing a malacha. Obviously, that's an Isser Midaraisa, to do a malacha. But if there's a malacha process that you are going to expedite through your non-malacha actions to expedite a post-Shabbos malacha, that's called Mimso Heftzecha. So, for example, the one that Rashi gives over here is that if somebody surveying a location, like a construction site, well, so he walks up to it on Shabbos and says, I'm going to build here. He's thinking and looking through in order to think about, so he doesn't take up time after Shabbos to do it because he's already doing it now, but he's not doing malacha. That's called Mimso Heftzecha. That's an Isser Midrabanan. So Gemara elaborates. Heftzecha, right? The drasha of Mimtso Heftzecha is bringing about your desires. Heftzecha, surin, heftze shamayim, mutarin. Heftze shamayim, things that are the will of shamayim, that type of lacha process that you're allowed to do, Rashi says, kigon poskim tzedakum, mishadchen al tinokos liyareis. And this, by the way, so we'll do a few more. Vidaber davar, and speaking things. So there's an isser of speaking things. So what does that mean, speaking things? Obviously, you're allowed to talk on Shabbos. You're allowed to say different Torah on Shabbos. However, actually, there's a midrash Midrash Rabbah that I saw that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai he told his mother not to talk at all on Shabbos or something very, very, very extreme. Maybe I'll get the exact lesson. It's a fascinating midrash. But that's not what it means over here. Gemara says, Shelo yehei diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol. That your Shabbos talk should not be like your weekday talk. In fact, some paskin lehalacha, that you should not say weekday greetings. There's the Shla and others. You shouldn't say weekday greetings. So Shabbos is not the time to say good morning or good evening. Right? And many people are makbid of that they don't say good morning, good evening, good afternoon, maybe to Goyim. Right? To Goyim probably, you shouldn't say good Shabbos because they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. If you say good Shabbos, they get Shabbos of Beth, you should kill them on the spot. Chayav Misa, right? No, not actually for anybody listening on the recording. Maybe it's not saying good Shabbos to a Goy, but good morning to a Jew or good afternoon to a Jew. Maybe the speech should be different. But the main thing that this Isser is telling us about, of Davar Davar, is speaking about Malacha, speaking about how you will do active Malacha. And this is part of the, you know, like, after Shabbos, I'm going to drive over there, so that that's a violation of Davar Davar, speaking of these things. Then Gemara elaborates, Dibor Aser, Hir Hur Mutar. So speaking it out is Aser, but just thinking it is Mutar. You might recognize a lot of these phrases, if not from Yeshayahu, from Mayudidus, speaks out all of these halachos, right? Chafutzecha Aser, right? And Hir Hurim Mutarim, Hir Hurim Mutarim, L'shadei Chabanos, right? So Here hor is mutter, you're allowed to think these things, but not as long as you don't verbalize it. And also l'shan dechabanos, even if you verbalize it. If you're talking tachlis to help marry off children, or tinok lamdo sefer, if also that's another heter elsewhere discussed in the Gemara, right? Tinok for a child, if you're talking about paying yeshiva tuition or hiring a rebbe, a tutor for your son, so you could talk some of the financial matters. It's not a violation because tinok lamdo sefer. So that's song is it's a halachic song talking about these concepts of mimsochavtzecha hiluchecha daber dovar, and a lot. Actually, it's very interesting. A lot of the Shabbos mirrors actually are there's a lot of halacha taught in them. So all of these are halachos mentioned by Yeshayahu about Shabbos. So now the Gemara says bishlama kuluhu l'chai. So all of them, it's all good. You know, l'chaim. Ela shelo yehei hiluchecha shel Shabbos hiluchecha shel chol maihi. But what is hiluchecha? What does that mean? I get all the others. It's pretty clear. What does it mean that your walking should be different? Gemara says ki hod amarav huna amarav vamrila amarav abba amarav huna haya mahalech b'Shabbos upaga ba'amasamayim. That he was walking, that if someone is walking on Shabbos and he encounters an anas amayim, like some channel of water, and im yochel haniach es ragel rishona kodem sheta'akir shnia mutter, if you're able to put one foot over without lifting the second foot yet, you're allowed to step over it. Im lav usser, but if not usser, meaning you're not allowed to jump. Jumping over little streams is a problem of hiluchecha. That's a weekday type of walking, and that's not Shabbostic. So if you can do one big step over, that's fine. But if you have to lift both feet at the same time, that is a violation of hiluchecha. So that's what we suggest. Maskif la Rava. So Rava challenges that. Hey chilavis. So no, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, you have to get the shul. Your shul is on the other side of this thing. What do you do? Lekif. So you're gonna make a hakafa. You're gonna go all around. Kamapish bihilucha. Over here, what you're doing is you're increasing the walking, right? So now I'm gonna have to walk an extra 15 minutes to avoid hopping over this. You're telling me that's like a better thing. That's worse, right? You're adding the tircha to my walking. So rather, that can't be what the halacha is demanding of you, which would seem to indicate. I think it might be. I think it is discussed in the poskim. Like, if you're allowed to take a particularly long way to get there, assuming you're not just going for the enjoyable stroll, but it could be that you should try to minimize the walk. So that can't be. Right, come up, yeshiyelucha. So liavar. So what should he do? Should he go into the water? Like, so right, you can't jump over it. So got to go through it. So right, so liaver, so zimnin demisvas son mani mayo. So what happened? You might get your clothing soaked with water. Va'asili de slita, and then you'll be over slita. You might wring it. And that's a problem. Aside from the fact that you know you come to shul soaking wet, but we're worried about violating Shabbos here, slita. So ella baha, rather it's this kevan delo efshar shaper dami. No, so since it's not possible, you're allowed to do it, right? So it must be that hopping over the little stream that must be mutter. So what are we talking about? Ella kidabab mine rav mari rav rebi oh rebi mi rebi Yishmael bar rebi Yosi. Right, so it's like the following shayla that was asked: Mahol l'sop psia gasa b'Shabbos. Am I allowed to go? Am I allowed to take a psia gasa, a giant step on Shabbos? Amar lei, he said to him, v'chi b'chol mi hutra. Who said it's mutter during the week? Taking a psia gasa is a problem during the week, whether it's for gaiva or it's just dangerous. Right, so what are you asking about specifically Shabbos? So, Shani Omer, Shani Omer, because I say psia gasa nutelas echad mi chamesh meosmi or enav, that someone who takes a big step, he has taken away from him 1/500th from of his sight is taken away. Shel Adam. And it's returned to him during Kedusha of Bein HaShemashos, which is, as Rashi said, Shosem Yayin Shel Kiddush B'Leilei Shabbosos. Somebody who drinks wine Friday night, so he gets his eyesight back. Meaning that taking up Siyagasa, you lose some eyesight and you get it back Friday night. And there's different discussions of what this might mean. I think also one possible remedy that's mentioned is looking at the candles by Vayechulu of Kiddush, looking at the fire, not only the Vayechulu part, not the Brachos part, where you're supposed to look at the wine. All right, so this, the metaphorical understandings of this, of the Siyagasa indicates arrogance, and then Kiddush humbles us before Hashem, or that there's like the hustle and bustle of the week can weaken a person or weaken their eyesight, and Shabbos, the relaxation of Shabbos and a big old revius of wine, or Mali Lugma of a wine, will calm it down. That has restoring quality, whatever it might be. There are different interpretations. But anyway, he says, you're not going to take a piece of gossip ever. A similar scenario. A similar scenario to this. Are you allowed to eat food? Sorry, Adama. Are you allowed to eat ground, earth, on Shabbos? Amrle, v'chi b'chol mihutra. Who says you're allowed to eat ground, earth during the week? Omer, sha'ani omer, apachol asur m'neshu melake. I say during the week you can't eat the earth because it's not good for you. It's damaging. Maybe l'de choli, says Rashi, brings you to illness. So let's just clarify over here. Rashi, the previous Rashi, Maho Lechol Adama, just mentions that it was some sort of remedy, at least in some places, to eat this. There's also some, I guess, I don't know if it's a physical disorder or psychological disorder, but Dr. Henry Abramson mentioned, I forgot the term for it, gasophagia or something like that, where it's some sort of thing that people like to eat earth. But anyway, he's asking, am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? It's a remedy. And so let's say I'm not doing it for the remedy. And he says, you're not allowed to do it ever. Similar to our previous story. So while we're on the topic of eating dirt, so Rav Ami says, anybody who eats from the dirt of Bavel is like he's eating the flesh of his forefathers. Right, because the Rashi says Shemesu Sham Begola, the ones who died in Golos. So if you're eating dirt, right, so a body in the ground disintegrates into the earth around it, and there are lots of Jews buried throughout Bavel, and therefore you're basically eating people by eating dirt. So don't eat dirt. Yeah.
This assumes that they didn't do as good a job of taking care of Kuros.
Taking care of what? Sorry. I don't know.
No, I'm not talking about the dust of Goyim, because then you can have an issue with that in Eretz Yisrael as well. I'm saying
right.
In Dafka Jewish, or
well, this is Avosav. This is Avosav.
It's in the stomach of a Yidden. I mean, unless as they were dragged into Bavel, people died and weren't afforded proper burials, which is possible. I don't know.
I'm not sure, and I don't know if it's supposed to be taken literally. That, like, you know, or rather, it's just saying, like, you know what you're doing by doing that, and it could be they're just trying to stop people from doing it in general. So they, you know, they said, like, you know, like they wanted people to stop eating dirt. So you know what you're doing by eating dirt. By the way, you know, you're eating the flesh of your forefathers by doing that. I don't know. Yeah, good question. If you're asking like halacha on my side, I'd recommend not doing the ground of America either. Just my own recommendation. Okay. V'yeish omrim, and some say kilo ochel shkatzim ramasim. It's like eating shkatzim ramasim. So Rashi says ho vaday atzamchuy atchamo velo nasu afar. Right. So those for sure, like. Disintegrate and don't become, or I guess they're buried there and they don't become like the afar. So, you know, if you eat them from the ground, you're probably eating some dead creepy crawly things you shouldn't be eating. Who knows how many bugs and you know.
referring to the bugs that die during the novel.
Uh-huh.
At the
low-lying area. Yeah, because the pasuk is quoted here. So
the bugs that the carcasses that floated down to the lowest points of ground didn't have anywhere to run off. They just kind of settled there. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, so that would explain why we quote this pasuk that we quote right now. And the discussion we're about to get into, or not, short discussion. Dichsib vayimachas kol hayakum vegomer, so that everything was like wiped out. Amar Reish Lakish, lama nikra shema shinar. Why is shinar called shinar? Shekol meisei mabul ninaru l'sham. Because all those who died in the midbar were mixed around and thrown and dumped there. So I think Shinar is a lashon of Sham Ninaru. I think that's what this drasha is. So that's why Bavel is also called Shinar. That's a nickname that the Chumash calls it Shinar, because it's Sham Ninaru. Okay, and Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikra shema mitzula. Why is it called? It's also called mitzula. Shekol meisei mabul nitzalul l'sham, because all of those who died in the mabul were nitzalul l'sham. So I don't know if the sham is supposed to be part of this over here, but it's nitzalul that they sunk into the ground there. So nitzdalu sham, maybe it's sham nitzdalu, is also sham nitzdalu mitzula. That's also another drush over here related to a nickname for a place called Bavel. Explanation for a nickname of Bavel. V'yesh omrim kilo ochash katzer amasim, and right, what we just said earlier, that it's as if you ate shkatzim ramatzim, v'ha v'adai isecham roye ismachu, but these for sure were disintegrated. Amri kevin demalake gazer be'rabanan deha, right? But we said, no, since they're damaging, they cause illness, so the Rabbanan made a gzera, deha hu gavra de'achol gargishta, because there was a person who ate like a thing of clay, v'achol tachle v'kadchule t'chila, Delibe, right? So he ate clay, which was from the ground, made from the ground, and then he had tachle, which we mentioned earlier, a couple of blot ago, I think, which is cress, and what happened is that it v'kadchule tachle belibe went up and like into his heart umis, and he died. So they didn't want people eating clay, and they didn't want people eating earth, and it could be you're eating bugs, and it could be you're eating your ancestors, and it's just something that the Rabbanan preferred you avoid. So I think that's probably, I think this actually clarifies what we were asking before. The Rabbanan wanted people to stop, not eat these things. They felt it was dangerous, and it was a common practice back then, at least in Bavel. Could be it was in Eretz Yisrael. It's also Usher. But they made the gzera there because it was a common practice to use as a refua, and the Rabbanan felt it was dangerous. So they phrased it in a way that would make people turn away from it. Right, you know, if you tell somebody it's dangerous. No, but you say, "Shkatzim ramasim, shkatzim ramasim." Right, so it's or you say, and even someone doesn't care about halacha so much. So not shkatzim ramasim. You know, you're eating your forefathers. Okay, that everyone has a breaking point, and then they'll stop. So that's what it looks like. Okay, now here's a very nice, exciting, timely piece. Virachatz v'sacht v'samt simlosayich. So we've been talking about clothing, so now let's quote a nice pasuk from, where is it? You see where it starts? Megillah Esros, beautiful. V'rachatz, and you should wash, v'sacht, and anoint, v'samt, v'simosayach, and place on yourself clothing. This is the instruction of Naomi. She's instructing Rus to get dressed nicely to approach Boaz. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elu Begadim Shel Shabbos. She was wearing Big Day Shabbos at the time. Very interesting. Tein L'Chacham V'Yichkam Od. Give, right, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Give to a Chacham and he'll become even more wise. Right, you see a lot of Mefarshim, use this line, quote this pasuk in Mishlei, where they give you some fundamental concepts. And then they give you like one small piece of pshat, and they say, like this pasuk that, you know, I've given you something, and if you're smart, you'll be able to figure out all the other connections on your own. So I'm not gonna you know, go too long right now. But you, if you're smart, if you're a chacham, then I've given you enough tools to figure out more on your own. So anyway, what are two instances where somebody was given a good suggestion, Eitza, and then they actually took it, they changed it around a little bit to make it even better, Eitza. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Zu Rus and Moavia, Vishmuel Haramasi. This is Rus and Shmuel. Rus and Shmuel, who is the author of Megillas Rus. Rus, right, so what's the case of Rus? Deilu Naami Kamra Lav, Rechatz, Vesach, Vesamt, Simlosayich Alayich, Viredes Hagoren. So Rus, she told her, go wash up and anoint yourself and get dressed in beautiful clothing and go down to the threshing floor to meet Boaz. Ve'ilu b'dida, but she herself, when it actually says what she did, k'siv, what does it say? Vateir d'agor, and she went down to the threshing floor. V'hadar, and then she went back. V'tas k'kol asher tzav esocha mosa. That she did everything her mother-in-law told her. So she went, she reversed the order. She got dressed by the threshing floor and didn't get dressed beautifully before going there. And Rashi clarifies she improved this etza how? Rashi says, shom socha v'lovsha. Why? Similos naos. Shlo yivgashu ba kishehi mikoshetes v'yomer zonahi. So the people shouldn't see her on the way and say, well, look, what, this woman is dressed so beautifully, she must be a zona. Right? A woman dressed beautifully going out at night. So in order to avoid any of that, and then you can imagine how poorly that would reflect on Boaz, you know, if she... would show up like that. So she didn't get dressed beautifully until after she got there. She was definitely, her improvement to the advice was even wiser than the original advice. Shmuel, de'ilu Eli kamarle. Shmuel, because Eli said to him, Shchav v'hoya im yikra elecha v'amart devar Hashem, daber Hashem, ki shomei avdecha. So basically this is a story that takes place in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, where Eli... this is Shmuel's first encounter with Nevuah. Shmuel is an apprentice to Eli. Eli's Kohen Gadol. Shmuel is Levi, right? And she promised that she would dedicate her son to Avodas Hashem, the Avodas Beis Hamikdash. So Shmuel is an apprentice for Eli. And three times, he's spending the night there, like in the appendix or somewhere of the Beis Hamikdash. Outside of Eli's room, and three times he hears his name being called. He thinks it's Eli. He keeps coming into Eli's room, and Eli says, "I didn't call you." And Eli says, and upon the third time, Eli realizes he's receiving nevuah. So he tells him, the Eli's advice to him is that next time you hear this, so you should say, "Daber Hashem, speak Hashem, ki shomea avdecha, for your servant is listening." So ve'ilu b'didei, but when it actually happens, yet again, the voice calls out Shmuel, Shmuel, k'siv be, what does it say right here? Vayavo Hashem v'yisatzev yikra k'pam b'pam, Shmuel, Shmuel. So what happened? The voice came again, said Shmuel, Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, daber ki shomea avdecha, speak, for your servant is listening. V'lo amar daber Hashem. And it doesn't say daber Hashem. So Eli said you should say daber Hashem, speak Hashem. And he just says speak. Seemingly showing kavod. Yeah. So Rash elaborates over here. Seeing that it's showing kavod that he didn't want to say Hashem's name just in case it wasn't Hashem. Then he's saying Hashem's name in vain. So he said daber instead of daber Hashem. And that was an improvement. Okay. Now, The Gemara knows that we're almost on Shavuos, just a couple of weeks till Shavuos, so the Gemara goes back to an analysis of Megillas Rus. How appropriate. Vatelech vatava vatelaket vasadeh, and she went and she came and she collected in the field. So, right, what does it mean? She went and she came and she collected in the field. Amar Rabbi Elazar, shahalcha uvasa, halcha uvasa ad shemotze b'nei adam, hamahuganin leilech ibahem. That she went back and forth and back and forth until she found people that it was fitting to go with them, right? That, you know, yeah, Rashi doesn't elaborate too much. that basically she wasn't willing to just go anywhere to collect. She wanted to make sure that she was around appropriate people at all times, right? So she's a Giora, she's coming in, and of course, the Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, Chazal tell us that the time that Rus joined Klal Yisrael was not the most flattering time. We're not really seeing us in our glory, and she wanted to be around appropriate people. That's why it says that she went and came and then collected. So Boaz asks his assistant, his attendant, his young man, who's standing there with the harvesters, whose woman is this? Whose young woman is this? So now the Gemara asks, V'chi darko shel Boaz l'shol benara? It's very strange. Does Boaz ask about every young woman who appears in his fields? That can't be. That's a hard thing to believe. So what's going on here? Amar Rebbe Lazar. So Rebbe Lazar says, "Davar chachma ra hisba." He saw a very wise thing in her. Shnei shibalin lakta, shlosha shibalin ina lakta. That she collected two, bundles or stalks, not three, right? Because Rashi says over here, explains the halacha of leket of things, right? One of the gifts of the poor is leket shicha peya, all of those. So leket is that if one or two sheaves or stalks are dropped, so that can be kept. Three, if someone drops three, then you can't collect any of them. So she would only collect if there was two. So it's interesting, you know, the davar chachma. It could be that the chachma is that she saw she was very knowledgeable, you know, which you very often find, right? A ger or gioras, they spent so much time learning Torah that they're actually pretty knowledgeable in halacha. So is it impressive that she knew the halacha, that she was keeping the halacha, that she was just wise about how she was doing it? I don't know. But Masnisa Tana, Dovert Snius Rabba, and a Brisa teaches that he saw a Dovert Snius. He saw her modesty. What was the modesty? Omdos ma'umad, noflos ma'yushav. When she was collecting things that were standing, I guess on trees or things like that, she would do it while standing. And if it was noflos, things that fell on the floor, so most people would bend over. But that leaves yourself open to not being as modest as possible. So ma'yushav, she would sit down to collect the things that were on the floor, that which was a very modest, you know, way to do it. And that's what called Boaz's attention to her. Not a young woman, but a young woman who is particularly smart or particularly modest. Viko sidbakin, and so should you cleave imnar osai with my young women who collect in the field. So right, so he says you should stick with my young women. I have there, you know, a group of young ladies that collect in the field, and they are, you know, and you should hang out with them. So v'chi darko shel Boaz l'dabekim hanashim, is it really Boaz's way to cleave with women, which is interesting, because that's not what he said. He said that you should cleave with the Narasai. What it may mean is just that, you know, he's showing special attention, and ultimately he's going to he is going to physically cleave to her. He's going and spiritually as well. So this is like kind of like a step in that direction. And you know, why is he giving special attention to this woman? So Amar Rabbi Lazar came into Chazav Atishak Arpa Lachamosa Verus Davkaba Amar Shari Lid Vukeba. So since he saw, which is interesting because this is must be with Ruach HaKodesh, that Arpa kissed her mother-in-law. This is at the end of Parak Aleph of Miguel's Rus, when they separate, and Rus, it says Rus clung to her. So he saw that it was permitted for him to marry her, for him to cleave to her, right? Which possibly means that he saw that she converted, and therefore she was marriageable. Though it's unclear if that's really what's going on here. Could be that he saw that, you know, she clung to her mother-in-law, so she deserved special attention and for having people cleave to her. It's interesting. I had this horror. I'm teaching Megillas the rest of my students now. I noticed the Lashon of Dovkaba and Dovkin, where it mentions it twice. I noticed that. I didn't think of what the connection might be, but the Gemara picks up on it as well and does connect it. Okay. Vayomer la Boaz le'eis ha'ochel Geshei Halom. And Boaz said to her, just one second. Okay, so where were we? Yeah. So he says to her, but Le'isa Ochel, at the time for eating, Goshi Halom, come here. So what does this mean? So Rabbi Lazar, another exposition of Rabbi Lazar, Remez Ramaz La. He was hinting something to her. Asira Malchus Beis David, let's say Shemimech, that eventually Malchus Beis David is going to come from you. Dichsiv Be Halom, right? Because Eir Sheva Halom Halom. Shenemar Vayova Melch David Vayeshel Evnei Hashem Vayomer Mi Anochi Adonai Elohimu Mi Veisi Ki Havi Osani Ad Halom. Right. So David Melch. Is this in Shmuel Zion? David Melch. He says that why am I fitting to be brought here? So the word halom, Boaz must have said with like Ruach HaKodesh, which is a word that is later used by David HaMelech. Next, the pasuk says, "V'tavalt pitech b'chometz." He says, "And dip your bread in vinegar." Amar Rabbi Lazar mikan shachometz yafa l'sharav. So we learn from here that vinegar is good for a hot day, for a very hot day. Vinegar is a good thing. Okay, right. We were talking about the healing qualities of vinegar throughout the last few blot. I'm not sure what the depth is over here. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says a different pshat. Remez Ramaz La Asid Ben Letzeis Mimech Shema Asav Koshim Kechomet Umanu Menashe. That eventually, in the future, there's going to be someone who comes from you who's going to be as hard and challenging as vinegar. And who is it? Menashe. Right? So this is something that you should definitely say, right, to a woman, right? Oh, you just converted to Judaism. You know you're going to have a big rush. There's going to be vinegar come from you. There's going to be Menashe. And he's a terrible Russia. So interesting. This was the message to send. But Teisha Mitzad HaKotzrim, and she sat from the side of the Kotzrim. Amar Rav Elazar Mitzad HaKotzrim Velo Besoch HaKotzrim. Why from the side of the harvesters, not in the midst of them? Remez Ramaz Lo Shasida Malchus Beis David Chitis Chalek. In the future, Malchus Beis David is going to split apart. Okay. So that's why it was like split apart the group. Again, what's going on here? So it's. On the simplest level, what it's telling us is that there are big things that are going to happen. Some good, some bad, but there's a lot of future being planned here. And whether Boaz was aware of it or not, he was telling Ruth that big things were going to come from her. It's worth taking some more time to look into each one and see why each one was mentioned at each point. But that's the posture shot of what's going on. But it's about La Kaliv Vatochal. And he gave her this food and she ate. There's some I think it was Kelly or Kelly's parched grain and she ate. And the pasuk continues that she ate and she was satisfied and there was leftover. So vatocha will be made. So these three phrases vatocha, what is that? Rabbi Lazar, vatocha will be made David. She ate. So that refers to the plentiful eating in the days of David, Vatispa, and she was satisfied. Bimei Shlomo refers to the satiety of the days of Shlomo. Vitosar Bimei Chizkia, and when there was leftover, that was in the days of Chizkia, right? If you want, just while we're on the idea of Shabbos Miros, right? So we say Tzurmi Shlo, Chanu Baruch Amunai, Sovanu Vehosarnu. So after we say Chanu, we say Sovanu Vehosarnu. So this is a lesson over here from Rus, it's a paraphrase of Rus. We elsewhere as well, right? Where we have eating and being satisfied and even having left over. Some say the eating isn't the days of David and Shlomo. Vatispa bimei Chizkia, vatosar bimei Rebbe. Rebbe also comes from Malchus Beis David, and that's the one Tosar refers to. Okay, Damar Mar Ahuri Re De Rebbe Hava Asid Mishavur Malka. The stable boy of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi was Hava Asir. He was more wealthy than Shavur Malka. Shavur Malka was the Persian king, even a stable boy of Rebbe was more wealthy than he was. But if Nisatana, one more interpretation of this phrase, Vatochal. That it's, he ate in the days of Mashiach. He ate, so it refers to three different time periods of Olam Hazeh, Yom HaMashiach, and Olam Haba, or L'sid Lavo. Okay, one, it's a little late, should we call it here? Okay, yeah, so that's the end of the Miguel's first piece, but it's a nice gift from Hashem that we're able to darshan some psukim and rus just before Shavuos.